أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قيل ادخل الجنة قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, the story of the people of the town, Ashab al-Qaryah. We have been discussing this story over the past few nights. There are four scenes in the story. The first scene was the scene where the messengers and the people of the town are having this discussion. That was the first scene. And we find that that scene provides much advice, counsel, and lessons for who? For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? That one scene. Much for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn from that scene. So you have four scenes and the audience, three different audiences. Again, right? Just to recap. So the first scene had much advice and counsel for the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second scene, we have a new character in the scene. Who is that? Habib. Habib al-Najjar. The lone believer. And in this scene, we find that it is Habib al-Najjar who is now having a discussion with the very same people. For who? For who are lessons, advice, and counsel provided in this scene? For that minority from amongst the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Going back to the verse, Man ittaba'a al-dhikr. There will be one or two following the dhikr. So for that person, there's much to learn. There's much to learn. And what lessons does he learn? Those one or two, Khadija, radiallahu ta'ala anha, Bilal, who is undergoing suffering, a minority, a weak person in the community, Yasir, who was eventually killed, Sumayya, who was martyred, those lone believers, what lesson do they take from the second scene? Because the second scene is talking to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to take advice and counsel from there. So there are a few lessons for them to learn from the second scene. Number one, that your duty does not end with belief. Look at Habib al-Najjar. He believed. Did his duty stop there? Was that it? Is my responsibility done to believe in the messenger? To believe in Allah, to believe in the Quran, and to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, what did he do? After believing, I have another responsibility and duty. And what is that? To convey. So that's the first lesson that believer is learning. Bilal is learning. Look at Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Great, great sahaba. The likes of Uthman, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Accepted Islam at the hands of who? Or due to the persuasion and encouragement of who? Abu Bakr. So you embrace Islam, though you are a minority, but your duty and responsibility does not end there. You have another duty, and that is to convey the message of the messenger. Another lesson for them. What happened to Habib al-Najjar? In last night's lesson, we ended with the scene where they beat him up and they stoned him until he was killed. He became a martyr. So who is being mentally prepared? Those few in the ummah and amongst the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that be prepared to be killed. Mentally, they are being prepared. Look at what happened to Habib al-Najjar. He was a lone believer. He embraced Islam. He then went on to convey the message. He was tortured and he was stoned to death and they martyred him. So now that Bilal is listening to this and he knows what to expect because this is addressing him. Yasir, what happened to Yasir? Sabran ya ala Yasir. Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pass by the entire family of Yasir. They would be pinned to the ground, tied to the hot desert sand of Makkah, pinned to the ground, lashed and beaten. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked past them and all Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could tell them is Sabran ya ala Yasir. O family of Yasir, be patient. Allah will give you Jannah. And they were killed. So this is addressing them. That you are minority. Look at what happened to Habib al-Najjar. Mentally preparing them that you will also face the challenges that Habib al-Najjar had faced. Let's go to the third scene now. So we're done with two scenes. The third scene is a beautiful and a wonderful scene. The scene of who? Habib in paradise. Habib al-Najjar in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقِيلَ دَخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قِيلَ. What does qila mean? It was said. To who? To Habib al-Najjar. He's a martyr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that a martyr, when he is martyred, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows him to enter paradise. There's a hadith pertaining to that. We will not go into the details of the hadith. When he enters paradise, what does he say? قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعْلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Subhanallah. He gets to Jannah. And what does he say? When he gets to Jannah, he's in paradise. Does he say, Oh Allah, see what they have done to me. Oh Allah, look at what the people have done to me. They have hurt me. They have stoned me to death. Oh Allah, you get them back for what they did to me. Oh Allah, you allow stones to rain down upon them because they stoned me to death. Was that the type of language that he used when he was in paradise? What does he say? Ya layta qawmi. Oh, I only wish my people knew how Allah has forgiven me and how He has placed me among the honored ones. What level of concern and love he had for his community and his people. I mean, when you enter paradise, let alone your enemies, you'll forget your near and dear ones. You'll be so mesmerized by the Jannah. مَا لَعَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, such beauty, such comfort, no eye has ever seen. You will enter into Jannah and you will see your spouse and you will be starstruck for 40 years. Do you know that? You'll just stand there for 40 years. 40 years will mean nothing for you because Jannah is forever. We cannot even perceive forever. What does forever mean? Because nothing in this world is forever. You and I, even if we try and imagine what's forever, we can't fathom the concept of forever. But he, forget his near and dear ones. Who does he think of? The unjust community who beat him and who stoned him to death. He has all the comforts before him, the rewards and everything of paradise. But the first people who come to his mind is, I wish I could enjoy this with my community. I wish my community could have enjoyed what I am about to enjoy in Jannah. Look at the level of concern and worry that he had for his people. So even at that time, he remembered nobody but his own unjust people. And he wished that somehow his people came to know of the enjoyment that he experienced and the generosity of Allah that he experienced while he was in Jannah and while he was in paradise. Now there's something I want to draw your attention to here, and this is so, subhanAllah, I just have to share this with you. It's so amazing. I want you to look at the ayah that we are discussing right now. I'm going to give you a lesson in Arabic grammar, okay? How's that? The ayah is, بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Let's translate it. I wish, يَا لَيْتَ. What does يَا لَيْتَ mean? I wish. Later in the Arabic language is used when? When you wish to express hope in something that's impossible. You say, يَا لَيْتَ. What did the poet say? لَيْتَنِي طَيْرًا أَطِيرُ إِلَيْهَا لَيْتَهَا بِجَنْبِ عَيْنَيَّ بِعَيْنَيْهَا. I wish I was a bird, I could fly to her. I wish she was seated next to me, my eyes staring in her eyes. Speaking about his mother. Ya later. It's expressing a wish and desire for something that is not possible. So he says, Ya layta qawmi, I have this deep wish, even though I know it's not possible, but I just wish my people would know, ya'lamun, not new, would know, meaning he still has hope for them that they will believe. How is it going to happen? He still wants to see them in paradise when they die. Ya'lamun, that they come to know of what? Bima ghafara la rabbi, how my Rabb has forgiven me, and how he has made me from the mukramin. Now, where did a similar expression pass? 10 marks for the one who gets it. Half a rosa tomorrow. We're talking of what here in this ayah? What has Allah given me? How has Allah honored me? Maghfira, forgiveness. Ghafara, maghfira, forgiveness. And He has made me from al-mukrameen. He has made me from al-mukrameen. He has honored me with His generosity and the rewards. He has really honored me. I want you to go back to that part, chapter, we're busy with the second chapter of Surah Yasin, right? The first chapter, when Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, majority of your people are not even going to give you a hearing. They're not going to listen to you. But there will be one or two in the audience who are thinking of what you are saying, right? And it is playing on their minds, and they are giving it serious thought. Man ittaba'a dhikr. There is that one or two who are following the dhikr. Wa khashiyar rahman. They develop the fear of Allah without seeing Allah. Fabashshirhu. When that person comes to you, right? And the first thing he has on his mind, the very first concern he has on his mind is what? I messed up. I lived a life of sin. Give him the good news of what? Fabashshirhu bi maghfira. Go to that verse. I want you to compare the verse. It is ayah number 11. Look at the end of ayah number 11 of Surah Yasin. It should be on the top of the page. فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ. Allah says, give that one when he comes to you, give him the good news of what? مَغْفِرَةٍ. Advice. مَغْفِرَةٍ. Forgiveness. وَأَجْرٍ. And secondly, give him the good news of what? أَجْرٍ. Kareem. And here, when Habib al-Najjar comes to Jannah, what does he say? Allah has given me the maghfirah. So we said that this scene is offering advice to who? To that minority, to the one or two who embraced Islam in the audience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he is indirectly, this incident by the way happened about 600 years before the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what we are discussing right now. So when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, listen here, you are going to get maghfirah from Allah, right? But when will he know I'm going to get maghfirah? When will he know? Once he's lowered in his grave. And listen, wa ajrin kareem, Allah is going to give you such a reward through which you will be honored. Ajrin kareem. When will he know about ajr al kareem? When he dies. Habib al-Najjar is martyred, he is killed, he's in paradise, and what does he say? Allah gave me maghfirah, and Allah made me from the mukrameen. Can this be the speech of any human being? Look at Kareem. Look at Kareem. Right, here's your lesson in Arabic grammar. Kareem, there are three root letters. Can you see the ya before the meme? That's an additional letter. That letter is added to conjugate a subject noun. So if you knock off the ya, you are left with what? Kaf, ra, meme. Those are the three root letters. Go to the ayah that we are discussing. Min al-mukrameen, al-mukrameen, right? Let's knock off the additional letters. The al is additional. We learnt of its usage, right? It's a definite article. The meme, you have to omit the meme as well. It's an additional letter. Why has it been added? To conjugate the object noun. Go towards the end. You see the noon at the end? That's a state marker. Not the state marker. That is the noon of plurality. Look at the ya before that. The ya before that, that's a state marker. What are you left with? Kaf, ra, meem. And there what we had? Kaf, ra, meem. What does karam mean? Karam means honor, respect, dignity. So what you told that one believer, he will get. Habib al-Najjar confirms it 600 years ago that listen, that karam, that karama, that honor, that dignity that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling you right now that you are going to get it, I got it when I was martyred. So what a wonderful lesson for the second audience, and that is the believer in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We move on to the fourth and the last scene of the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِن بَعْدِهِ مِن جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ. Habib al-Najjar is in paradise. He's enjoying the comforts of Jannah. And he's enjoying the pleasures of Jannah. Allah comes back to the community. Allah says, let's come back to these people. they have not committed an ordinary crime. Allah says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِن بَعْدِ. And we did not send down to his people an army from the heavens after him. After he was martyred, we did not send down a huge army of angels from the heavens to deal with them. We didn't do that. Why? There was no need. They are an insignificant people. Why should I send an entire army? The greater the preparation for an onslaught shows what? The greater the challenge ahead. Right? They are an insignificant people. Now who's the audience? Who has to take lessons from this? The third audience. The disbelievers in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Said, listen, Quraysh. You might think of yourself as the most superior clan and tribe in the whole of Arabia. But let me tell you something. The community of Habib al-Najjar, we did not have to send an army from the heavens to deal with them. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِن بَعْدِهِ. مِن بَعْدِهِ means after him. We did not send down a jund. What does jund mean? An army of angels. مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. السَّمَاءِ from the heavens. وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ. And there was no need to send down an army. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now speaking of the divine punishment that struck this community of Habib al-Najjar, the Ashab al-Qariya, the people of Antakiyya. How did Allah destroy them? Allah gives us a description of the punishment. إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. Allah says it was no more than a single cry, one shriek, one loud cry, one loud shriek, and in no time they were all finished. خَامِدِينَ, we come to the meaning of خَامِدُونَ, means to be extinguished. All of them, the whole community. It appears in the hadith narrations that the archangel Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Jibreel that go to this qarya, go to this Medina, go to the city. And he held on to the sides of the two gates of that city. Right? So he's got the gates of the city. You know, in those days, the city, every city had a huge fortress or a wall around it, and it had a point of entry. And at the point of entry, they had these huge gates. So he held on to each side of the two gates and he let out a loud scream and a cry and a shriek, so loud and so deafening. And it was such a huge explosive that any living thing could not bear that shriek, and they all succumbed to sudden death. All of them, the entire community. Now what's interesting here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he explains their death and their sudden death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word khamidun. If you look at the end of ayah number 29, in kanat illa sayha, Allah says it was no more than a sayha. Sayha means a shriek, a shrill cry. Wahidatan, only one single. I did not have to send an entire army of angels. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. Now خَامِدُونَ, what is that translated as? They were all extinguished. When do we use extinguish? When is something extinguished? Or what is generally extinguished? A fire. Allah uses خَامِدُونَ, which is derived from خُمُود. خُمُود means to extinguish a fire. But, you know, there's two ways of extinguishing a fire. One is you have a campfire, right? And you want to go to bed, so you like just put off the campfire, and there is still some embers that are burning, but it doesn't concern you. That's not khumud. Khumud is when you take a bucket of water and you throw it onto that fire and shoo, completely extinguish. There's absolutely no life left in that fire. Allah says completely. There wasn't even like one person, like, you know, suffering, or even they were all knocked out, blown away. Khumud, khamidun. Subhanallah. And now what do we learn from this? Allah is comparing them to a fire. They were a fire for two reasons. One is, were they not boiling with fury? a while back, and they were raging. If you look at a fire, it's raging, and it's rising up, and it can even has the potential to burn, and it flares up, and it has this rage and this roar in it. That is what they were doing, right, to the Anbiya. When the prophets came, they were raging with fury, and they told the prophets that we are going to stone you to death. And Habib Najjar came before them, and they stoned him to death. So they were raging. And what happens with a fire that's raging, and you throw a bucket of water on it? Dead. Gone. What happened to all the talk and the fury and the rage? Number one. Number two, a fire, if it is not contained, what happens? It spreads. And when it spreads, it can harm others and cause pain to others and hurt to others. So what must we do with such a fire? You have to contain it and extinguish it. So there was a need for Allah to extinguish that fire before the cancer spreads across the globe and the evil that they were involved in spread to all the other cities where the religion of Isa alayhi salam was practiced. So Allah says completely and totally, we extinguish them. In conclusion, Allah says, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad, Allah. This is Allah's statement. What does Allah say? Allah says, Ya hasra. Ya hasra is an expression that you use when you want to denote some level of pain or remorse. That Ya hasra ala al-ibad. Allah says, alas for the slaves. Allah Himself is calling this a tragedy. Allah does not express joy at their destruction. No. They have just been destroyed, but Allah is not expressing joy and happiness at their destruction. Allah is saying, Ya hasra, Ya hasra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is calling it, what a tragedy. Why could they not just listen to the prophets and use their intellect and think? It was so clear to them. Ya hasra ala al-ibad, ma ya'tihim min rasul. Allah says, not a single messenger comes to them. What is the matter with these people? And Quraysh, listen. Quraysh is being addressed here. There's lesson for them, there's counsel for them, there's advice for them. مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ الرَّسُولِ. Not a single messenger comes to them. إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. But they have been mocking at him. They make fun of every single messenger. This is a messenger that was sent from Allah. Why do they mock at the messengers? The moment you start mocking at the messenger, you are already treading the path of destruction. They make fun of the messengers. Whenever I sent a messenger to them, they mock the messengers. They make fun at the messengers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya hasra, what a tragedy these people are faced to experience. أَلَمْ يَرَوْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Do they not see the Quraysh and your enemies, O Nabi of Allah? Did they not see how many generations we have destroyed before them who will not come back to them? Those generations are never going to come back to them. The people of Ard, the people of Thamud, their ancestors who were destroyed, the people of this Qarya, the people of Antakya, Antioch, they are never going to come back to them. Why do they not learn from that? And what does this expression also mean, that أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ? It also means that those people were totally wiped out, not leaving behind any descendants. You don't hear of anyone who says, my lineage meets up with Fir'aun. Or anyone say, my lineage meets up with Namrud. Or, I come from nothing. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. They have left nothing behind, and they are not able to come back to their own people. وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّا جَمِيعُ الَّذِينَ مُحْضَرُونَ. The last ayah. And the verse with which we will conclude this chapter of Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّا. And all of them are but to be assembled together before us. They're not going to come back into this world. Quraysh will not be able to meet those or the descendants of those who were destroyed. But you know what? All of them, Ad, Thamud, the people of Lut, the disbelievers of Antakya, all of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in kullu lamma jami'a. Jami'a means all of them, all together, ladayna, in our presence, muhdaroon, will be assembled and will be brought before us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.